The traffic in the roads comprised more than just pedestrians. There were bicycles weaving in and out, and men and women pushing barrows laden with different goods that were either for sale or were in the process of being delivered from one dwelling to another. The crush of people spelled success for the bill. Each person had Jack, and each person represented some piece of trade that either had gone on or was about to. Salvation had become a Richville very quickly, and maybe that was the problem. Baron Silas had a large number of people within a very small space, and no room to expand the ville. To deconstruct and then remake the walls around the old boundaries of Salvation would take time and manpower that couldn't be spared right now. Not with the vast amount of work that was taking place along the old blacktop, linking the villes that were involved in the refinery reconstruction and giving them a route to the outside world, and not with the vast amount of work and manpower that was also being invested in the refinery that was the point of the alliance. The sec forces of Salvation had to be stretched to the breaking point, coping with the extra people and the extra work. As with most villes, particularly larger ones, Ryan could see at a glance that all the inhabitants that passed him by were armed, blasters hanging easily from holsters or cradled in arms as they walked. So many people in such a small space. Tensions would be bound to arise. And if they did, they would be concentrated within the boundary walls, unable to diffuse outside. Although he felt uneasy about their being deprived of their own blasters, Ryan felt sure that they would soon regain them. The way in which Crow had been ordered to deliver them to Baron Silas, and the way in which he had allowed them to be tested in unarmed combat, could only point to one thing. If they were to move on, then they had to first become part of Salvation's sec force.
This is it.
As if I couldn't have guessed.
As the wag pulled up, Mildred surveyed the building in front of them. It was a large, ornate stone building that had probably stood since the founding of the old oil town from which the Ville of Salvation had been forged. The white stone had become discolored with age, and the old balustrades, cornices, and carvings were now covered in a creeping vine of ironwork that spread tendrils of barbed and decorated dark metal across the front and sides of the building, as far as they could see. There were no breaks for the windows, the decoration also acting as a protective bar to any access, other than through the ground-level doors. The large stained wood doors to the building were reached via a short flight of stone steps, impressively constructed with a tapering sweep to reach a pinnacle by the doors. The wide base of the steps marked at each corner by a plinth that had at one time housed statues that were of the same stone as the building. These had long since been replaced with statues in beaten metal that were obviously supposed to depict Baron Silas Hunter, as they were identical to that which stood on the arch over the gates to Salvation. If there was a similar arch at each entry, then there were four statues surrounding the ville, and now at least two within the walls. Baron Silas Hunter was obviously a man of some ego. Ryan stood in the back of the wag and stretched muscles cramped by too long a confinement after their explosive bout of action.
So we get to meet the great man at last.
Yeah, as soon as we deal with these assholes.
Crow jerked a thumb at the still semi-conscious workers in the back of the wag.
Wait there.
No way else go.
But if Crow had heard Jack, he failed to respond as he dismounted from the vehicle and joined Tex in walking around to the rear doors. Inside, the companions heard the lock being sprung, and then the doors were flung open, admitting light into the back of the vehicle that caused the pile of beaten flesh to stir a little more. It also caused Petey to awaken, the mild sedative and painkiller administered by Mildred having made his journey a little easier. Crow took the sick man by one arm. Ryan took the other arm, and Petey was so disoriented and such a dead weight from his injury that it took all their strength to get him from the wag. While they did this, the doors to the building opened, and a squad of sec men came down the steps. Three of them, armed like all the others with Uzis, took over from Crow and Ryan, and Petey was taken into the building. The companions climbed out of the wag and stood to one side under the watchful eyes of the sec men. The seven strong squad stayed silent, but kept their hands thoughtfully on their blasters.
Hey, they're okay. And you should see what they did to those good old bars and back.
Tex indicated where the workmen were beginning to surface, groaning in agony. To the guards, Crow indicated the companions with a gesture.
They're with me.
Then, turning his attention to the wag, he pointed in.
Those stoops, on the other hand. Get them out and send them home. They'll get their jack when they're fit enough to come and get it on both feet.
He left a squad of SEC men to decant the still groggy workmen and send them to their homes to recover. While Tex moved around to the front of the WAG to take it to the WAG bay where all Baron Silas's vehicles would be stored, Crow began to mount the steps.
Follow me.
Ryan exchanged glances with his people and fell into step behind the man after whispering triple red to the others, who all made small gestures of acknowledgement. Although they were unarmed, they could still be prepared to meet any danger as best they could, and without thinking, they fell into formation, with Christy and Dean followed by Doc and Mildred, J.B. bringing up the rear. But there was little sign of danger once they entered the building. Two armed SEC men closed the doors behind them, but once they were in, there was little sign of any overwhelming SEC presence. Instead, the companions took in the ornate plush with which Baron Silas Hunter had decorated his baronial palace. Rich hangings and plundered paintings sat over a ragbag of antique furniture, plundered and traded from many points. And always, the intertwining wire and smelted iron rails ran in decorative yet secure form across every window and opening.
Hell, he doesn't need strong SEC inside, not without armor outside.
What worries me is what it keeps in right now, not what it keeps out.
They followed Crow up a red-carpeted staircase that ended in a pair of off-white wooden doors. As they approached, the doors opened, and a man appeared, staring down at them. There was no doubt who he was, as he was dressed exactly as the statues had portrayed him. When he smiled, it was as icy as his eyes.
Welcome to my home, good people. Welcome to the heart and soul of salvation.
Baron Silas Hunter led Crow and the companions into the sumptuously furnished room from which he had emerged. There were windows on all sides of the long hall-like room that had a long polished oak table as its centerpiece. There were a dozen chairs, six on each side of the table, with a large gilt-covered throne at the head. The light from the windows, depleted as it was by the ironwork that covered the glass, was augmented by a plethora of candelabra scattered around the room, resting along the length of the table, as well as reposing on the mantel and on plinths and small tables that lined the room's walls. Baron Silas strode easily with snakeskin cowboy boots on the tiled floor, before gliding into the throne, swinging up his legs in one easy move so that his heels rested on the tabletop, feet crossed at the ankles. He pushed the Stetson hat back on his head and eyed the companions coldly, following in his wake. He gestured at them to be seated, and so they took positions, with Ryan, Christy, and Jack on one side, J.B., Mildred, Dean, and Doc on the other. Crow slipped into a position beside Jack. They waited in an expectant silence for the Baron to speak.
So these are the hombres you spoke so highly of, Crow?
Crow nodded.
They don't look that mean to me.
Looks can be deceiving.
Ryan could see from the manner in which the Baron was appraising them that the man's intent was to spur some kind of reaction so he could judge their individual and collective character. Ryan didn't appreciate those types of games. He had come this far for a reason, but he wouldn't be pushed, and wouldn't allow his people to be pushed.
Well, maybe you are and maybe you aren't. You've come to salvation, and this is my bill. I make the rules.
We've come here because we wanted to.
The Baron watched the one-eyed man with glittering snake eyes and smiled a gimlet grin that contained no humor.
You mean you wanted to come here rather than take your chances in the desert?
If need be. We willingly gave up our blasters and worked for you in return for food, water, and shelter. We agreed to come back here rather than stand and fight out there. And if you've taken any notice of what your foreman here has said, you'll know that we could have taken the blasters from your workmen and then taken your SEC.
That's easy to say.
Easy to do.
You let your monkeys speak for you? Hell, even a benevolent son of a godly like me doesn't do that.
The Baron stared firmly at Ryan and completely ignored J.B. Christy felt Jack stir at the insult and knew that although the albino would show nothing on his scarred and impassive face, every muscle would be tensed for an angered attack. She gently moved her hand from her lap to Jack's arm and squeezed his wrist. She didn't look away from the Baron as she did this, but she knew she had the intended effect when she felt Jack's tension relax against her grip. Crow had noted this group interplay and ruminatively scratched his chin. That would be something to mention to the Baron later. Across the table, Dean had also reacted to Baron Silas's words, and Mildred spared him a glare while Doc laid a hand on his arm. The younger Carter had yet to learn the cool of his father. The flicker in the corners of Baron Silas's eyes gave away to the one-eyed warrior that he was watching them all intently, and Ryan grinned before he spoke again.
These people aren't monkeys, Baron. We've all been together a long time.